What is the context of confessing your sins to one another in James 5:16? That was a good one. Number one, let's turn in James 5:16. And this is very interesting. I'm so glad that someone wrote this on their offering envelope. And I would encourage you. In fact, one of the ladies after first service came up to me and she says, why don't we just have a Sunday school class doing this? And I said, hey, this is all I do. I kind of have Q&A sessions only everywhere, in the hallway, at the post office, at Qdoba, you know, and here. Because what it is people love to connect what they've read in the Bible with other parts of the Bible to see how they connect. So what is the context of confessing your sins to one another in James 5:16? Look in your Bible. Actually, the whole section starts in verse 13. Is any among you suffering? That is a very interesting word. It means having bad feelings, having hard feelings, you know. Kakopatheo. Patheo is like sympathetic feeling together, sumpatheo. This is kakopatheo, which means evil feelings. Is anybody having evil feelings? Let him pray. Boy, that's an interesting prescription. Is anyone cheerful? This is a very interesting word. It means kind of just overflowing with joy. Then sing psalms. Now the context, verse 14. A third group. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for... Now, wait a minute. Is this every kind of sickness? I mean, immediately you have to start asking yourself questions. Is this every time you have a headache or a toothache or a stomachache or the flu or a cold? Or is it just cancer? Or is it just... I mean, what kind of sickness are we talking about here? And there's been great, you know, great discussions. In fact, if you have a study Bible, they take a position. It's in there. But is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And look at this. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Verse 16, therefore, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for another that you may be healed. Boy, that is a good question. What is the context of confessing your sins to one another? In fact, there are seven different words for sin, and this is a very interesting word for sin. You know, there's a sin that means you miss the mark. This one, periptoma, means that you stumble, blunder, trespass. It's often used for trespass. It's talking about how we bother one another in so many ways, you know, and most of all, our trespasses are an offense to God. But what's the context of confessing your trespasses to one another? Is that supposed to be normal in the church? Are we all supposed to walk around and say, you know what, I have awful thoughts about you, and boy, I'm just so jealous of you, and I don't like your wife either, and boy, you bother me, you know. Is that really what we're supposed to be doing? And there's nothing wrong with walking in the light and transparency and sharing from time to time how the Lord is working in your life. But what the real question is, what is James 5:16 talking about? So the direct context of James 5:16 involves two words. In verse 14, sickness. Look at verse 14. It says, is anyone sick? Sick. So there's a specific sickness we're talking about here, or James is talking about. And the second one is, in verse 15, sins. And if he has committed sins, and by the way, it doesn't say if he has committed sins. The idea is if he has been doing. The word committed means it speaks of really, really into it. It's the word of being characterized by. If he has really been into sin, they'll be forgiven him. So why is that even in there? I mean, do you have to worry every time you have a cold that you're sinning? You know, I mean, what is so we have to, first of all, look at the direct context of this. Now, secondly, the confession of trespasses, periptoma, is offenses, trespasses. It's even translated in some Greek lexicons, blunders. And so the context of this is in the context of this sickness and sin. So it's there. There is confession. But what may be the bigger picture? See, that's what you have to do. Would James, just out of the blue, in a society where they didn't have medicine as we know it today, in a society where people didn't have any idea about germs, and so there was constant... I mean, the average person in James's church didn't live past their 50s. Understand that. The average person that was in James, going to the church in Jerusalem, If they were out of their 50s, they were old and aged. Aged. Ancient. You see, how do you know? Because the Jews had burial customs where they would put people on a shelf, wrap them up like they did Jesus, and leave their neck uncovered. And after a year, they would come when they were decayed and just the bone was there. That's why they left the neck uncovered, to make sure that everything was all ready. They would take the bones and put them in a box. And all over Israel, there are boxes of people's bones. And after they were in the box for a while, they had a larger place. They just dumped the box in and put all the bones in there. And so the archaeologists have taken thousands and thousands of Jewish body bones, you know, and they've shipped them back to medical labs, and they've discovered, by looking at their teeth and a lot of other things, their diet and their average age. And the average person in the time of Christ lived in their 50s. So they were sick all the time. They didn't have indoor heating. They didn't have indoor plumbing. They had so many things. So what's the bigger picture? Well, the word sick in Greek is asneo. Look at verse 14. The word is any sick among you. So immediately you do a little, right there it is, asneo. It's in English, we don't usually put a TH and an N beside each other. It's kind of a kazuntite kind of thing. But it's that word in verse 14 is a verb form of an adjective that shows up in a similar context. So immediately I think the bigger picture is not, do you have a cold? Then ask the elders to pray for you. What bigger picture could it be? So just for a second, turn over to 1 Corinthians 11:30. And I'm not going to go on this very long because no one asked me about it, but I'm just going to show you where my mind went. In 1 Corinthians 11:30, believers are, in this context, chastened, weak, sick, and dead because of undealt with sins. And the word weak in 1 Corinthians 11:30 is the word sick in James 5. It's the very same word. So 1 Corinthians 11:30, you know, is in the context of the Lord's Supper, which starts in verse 23 and ends in verse 26. In fact, this is what I've quoted twice on Sunday morning and once on Sunday night for going on into my fifth year now. I always quote this. And so you've always heard me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. So we know that. But look at verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. That's the inward look of communion. We're supposed to, you know, have this inward, this time of looking at ourselves. Examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. What is that talking about? Judgment for going to church and being at a communion service? Yeah. Not discerning the Lord's body. Now, verse 30, the word that has the same, or the verse that has the same word in it. 1 Corinthians 11:30. For this reason, many are weak. See, verse 29 says the chastened, judged by the Lord. A Christian judged by the Lord is chastened. Judging unsaved people sends them to hell. Judging a Christian chastens them. You understand, chastening is a biblical doctrine that many Christians know little about. Chastening is the first thing. The first effect, almost like chastening is the header. And the three levels of chastening are listed in verse 30. Some, for this reason, many. Wait a minute, what church are we talking to? We're talking about the church where people got drunk at communion. We're talking about the church where one man is living in sexual immorality with his own mother. I mean, this is Christians acting like worse than pagans, his stepmother, but it was still his father's wife. So this church, and they're having all these problems and sin and rivalries and bitterness and everything. And so the Lord says, when a Christian acts like an unsaved person, I don't let him do that. I begin the process of chastening, which has three levels: weakness, sickness, and death. That's the three. The weak is our word from here. So that's interesting. So basically this, I believe James 5, what's the context of confessing your sins to one another? I believe it's when a person, and as a pastor, many, many times over the last 35 years. There have been people who are fine, upstanding citizens of, you know, of heaven, going to church, and just amazingly, they get something wrong with them, and they go through, they get weak, and they get sick, and they're declining and declining and declining, and nobody can figure it out. And often, a family member comes and they say, you know what, mom, dad, husband, wife, whatever. This just, I mean, I remember when a couple of the elders and I went over to someone's house and recently prayed with them. But basically what it is, it's an unbelievable onset of an illness. It has nothing to do with anything that you can understand. And I'll just tell you one, they're so far removed you wouldn't know who it was because they lived in Tulsa. But this person worked for Billy Graham. This person was very wealthy and very famous, and they attended. They were a star at the church that I pastored. And all of a sudden, they got so sick, and they're so wealthy. They did Mayo. They did Cleveland Clinic. They did Boston General. I mean, they did the whole circuit. And finally, the husband brought the wife in, who was the one that was sick, and said, you know what? We have prayed, and we have waited on the Lord, and my wife said that there's something in her life that she never told anybody about, and she's persisted in this sin, and she wondered if it's biblically possible that the Lord is chastening her. I said, is it biblically possible? Absolutely biblical possible. And so we had this wonderful service, and we prayed over her and said, okay, what would you like to confess your trespass? And we all confess, you know, that we're equal sinners and we can't forgive you. But the Bible says in James 5:16, and to make a long story short, this woman told us what it was. And it was just a deep-seated bitterness. She had worked for every dime in her life and other people hadn't. And she was so bitter that they, you know, and whatever. And it was just dumb. When you look at most sins, all sins are dumb. And she just said, but I can't shake it. She said, for the last 3 years, she said, I've been hateful to those people in church. And she said, and I'm still, you know, doing everything I do for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. He said, I'm so sick that Cleveland Clinic and Mayo says there's nothing wrong with you. But she said, I'm sick. And she was just withering away. I mean, she just looked like a plant you cut off that went. Whoosh. And she just said, I confess and repent of my bitterness. And we prayed over her, anointed her with oil in the name of the Lord. I think she could have run the Boston Marathon the next week. You wouldn't believe it. Bonnie knows. She was radically, she still is about the most vivacious, vibrant person you've ever seen. One of the clearest examples of this. So, I believe James 5 is probably spoken in the context of chastening. If you want to read about chastening, it's in Hebrews 12. Sins that can lead to death. You want to read about that, it's in 1 John 5:17. And Christ's judgment of his church. You want to read about that, it's in Revelation 2:22. But in 1 Corinthians 11:30, Paul said that at the Lord's Supper, anybody that comes to share in communion, they're supposed to say, there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. There's no unconfessed, unforsaken sin in my life. And if they partake in the Lord's Supper, as if there's nothing outstanding in their account of short accounts with the Lord says, then you immediately get my attention because you're faking it, because you're not coming clean at the Lord's table. That's why the early church celebrated communion so often. It kept the church very, very much cleansed and in fellowship with the Lord. But what happens is, Paul said, many of you in the Corinthian church are weak. Many of you are sick, and some of you are dead. You say dead? Yeah. There's a sin that leads to death. Unconfessed, unforsaken, undealt with sin, sooner or later, leads to what we call an untimely death. It's because the Lord will not let you perpetually and won't let me perpetually act like an unbeliever and claim to be his child. And so, many are sick, are weak, sick, and some sleep, are dead. And so, what's the context, you know, without getting into all that, what's the context of this? I believe the context is shown by this idea of it being between sickness and confession of sins. Otherwise, every time you get a cold, call the elders and confess your sins, and what if you don't get better? You know what I mean? But there is a lot of other parts of the anointing with oil in James 5 talks about it could be massaging, medicinal, and it has involved with sometimes we do need to pray for the Lord to relieve. And also that word asneo also means weakness. And there's a whole view that one of my best friends holds to that word means spiritual weakness, and people that are weary are supposed to be prayed over. But what is the confessing of sins and the Lord forgiving them? See, that's the part that they don't. James 5, there's something going on there. And the linkage between James 5 and 1 Corinthians 11:30 is very interesting. So thank you for asking that on the offering envelope.